Thanks for tuning in to Troubles and Transitions in the Healthcare Hustle. I just want to give you a heads up that this is a particularly sensitive episode. Speaking of the atrocities happening around the world right now, if you are staying away from news and current affairs, you may want to skip this episode or use it as a gentle meditation to go to sleep with, because your guide, Wendy Wink, is suffering from extreme fatigue and therefore can put anyone to sleep, even while delivering the most awful commentary you've ever heard.
Discretion is advised when listening. Sensitive or triggering topics are touched upon. If you are struggling with mental health, there are websites and hotlines on the podcast's homepage, as well as on each episode page. The crisis hotline number you can call is 1-866-488-7386, or you can text START, S-T-A-R-T, to 678-678.
Hey, fabulous listeners. Welcome to Troubles and Transitions in the Healthcare Hustle. I'm your gregarious guide, Wendy Wink, and I'm here to take you on a wild ride through the highs and lows of the queer, trans, and gender nonconforming healthcare experience. Each week, we'll get into the lowdown of challenges that are faced, but also celebrate the incredible triumphs and victories that keep us charging full throttle. Get ready for jaw-dropping stories, expert guests, and a whole lot of fierce, unapologetic truth bombs. So grab your glitter, buckle up your chaps, and pour your rosé. We're about to hustle through those healthcare hurdles together. Stay fierce, and let's get this Kiki fired up.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Hey everyone, it's Wendy Wink, and welcome to another episode of Troubles and Transitions and the Healthcare Hustle. Today, I wanted to reflect on celebrating Pride Month amidst the chaos and turmoil happening around the world. This is a rough one for me. I'm not feeling especially celebratory. From conflicts in Gaza and Sudan, to the war in Ukraine and Ethiopia, the global situation feels overwhelming. I want to take the following time to maybe explore these crises and discuss how we can still honor pride in such challenging times. Mental health is part of our healthcare, so let's talk about it. And as said by Emma Lazarus, until we are all free, we are none of us free. Let's start off with something I think that we're all familiar with at this point. What's going on in Gaza, the conflict between Israel and Hamas. It's escalated, leading to widespread destruction and loss of life. Civilians, including many children, are caught in the crossfire, and the humanitarian situation is pretty dire. Homes are being destroyed, families are being torn apart. Access to basic necessities, food, and medical care is severely limited. This conflict has been ongoing for decades, but recent escalations have brought unprecedented levels of violence. I look at their situation and their lack of access to basic necessities like food and medical care. And I know this podcast is to speak on the lack of access we as a community face. And this is humbling. We're watching it right before our eyes. Another armed conflict that's going on is happening in Sudan. The war there has displaced millions and led to a severe humanitarian crisis. Ethnic and political violence continues to ravage the country, but women and children are particularly vulnerable to the atrocities such as rape and murder. The displacement camps are overcrowded and resources are scarce. The international community has been so slow to respond. It's leaving many with little to no hope of support. So sad. And then the conflict in the Dominican Republic of Congo. The M23 militant group and about 119 other armed factions. They're causing widespread devastation to the eastern regions, particularly North Kivu. Those are hot spots of violence because they are hot spots for very valuable resources, or the market. They make money. Blood diamonds, I think we call that. Civilians are fleeing their homes and they're facing arbitrary arrests. They're suffering from sexual violence. Displacement camps are overcrowded and under-resourced, exasperating the suffering of those already traumatized by the conflict. Absolutely horrendous. We've got the war in Ukraine. This war continues to have devastating impacts. Russian aggression has led to significant destruction, with cities being bombarded and civilians being targeted. Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced, seeking refuge in neighboring countries or within safer parts of Ukraine. The conflict has also led to severe economic consequences. There is a severe shortage of food and fuel, which is affecting their daily lives. Lebanon and Israel. There's tension between Lebanon and Israel that's escalated, adding to the instability in that region. Skirmishes along the border have resulted in casualties and heightened fears of a larger conflict. The people of Lebanon are already dealing with economic collapse and political instability. The increased tensions only exasperate their troubles. Maybe a lesser known conflict. Myanmar's the junta and child soldiers. Myanmar is another area of grave concern. The military junta continues to oppress its people brutally. Many children are being forced into armed conflict. The use of child soldiers is a grave violation of human rights, and the situation in Myanmar remains dire as resistant groups fight against the junta's brutal regime. The use of child soldiers is not just being used by the junta, but very young teenagers, people, very young people, children, are volunteering to be a part of these resistant groups to fight against the junta. And they are losing their lives, which even their parents consider to be a noble act, bravery. It's heartbreaking. These are teenagers that, as recently as 2 weeks ago, we were seeing on TikTok making silly dance videos. We have the crisis in Haiti, just facing extreme violence and instability. Political turmoil, gang violence natural disasters have combined to create a humanitarian disaster. Many Haitians live in constant fear, lacking access to basic services and security. The international response has been insufficient to meet the enormous needs of the population. Again, we're seeing the lack of access to basic needs, which is something we talk about constantly here, and we see on such a larger scale. And it doesn't minimize what we feel in any way. When we look at it from this perspective, we can really feel that humility, feel right-sized in the world.
There's currently a conflict in Tigray, a northern area of Ethiopia, and that has led to severe humanitarian crisis with millions displaced and a widespread report of atrocities like mass killings and sexual violence. The situation is further complicated by regional tensions involving Ethiopia and Eritrea. And Turkey. Somalia's involvement adds another layer to this already complex and devastating conflict. So, Tigray was left in pretty rough shape when Eritrea became independent of Ethiopia, and it has stayed as such. And Ethiopia is now threatening to take Eritrea by force if they may not gain access to a port for international trade, as they are landlocked. Turkey is therefore threatening Ethiopia if that be the case. And so Ethiopia is waiting to perhaps gain access to a port via Somalia. And Somalia and Ethiopia are allies. But in the meantime, Tigray is seeing more distress than ever as an already underprivileged and distressed region of Ethiopia.
Because of how it was left when Eritrea became independent. We have the militarization of Mexico. Mexico's recent militarization efforts are pretty alarming. The government has deployed military forces to combat drug cartels and organized crime. It's led to increased violence and human rights abuses. Civilians are often caught in the crossfire, and the situation continues to deteriorate. There's a number of former Soviet nations that are at significant unrest, whether it be civil war or war against one another. Those former Soviet nations are also experiencing Russia's exerting pressure and how they are engaging in aggressive tactics. The deployment of a nuclear-powered military fleet to Cuba by Russia has heightened global tensions, and it's only reminding us here of the fragility of peace and the constant threat of escalation. I think it's important to point out that Russia has NATO in somewhat of a chokehold. There's so many countries, including us, thank fucking God, back Ukraine But Putin has been so forward with his threat to retaliate quickly if anyone comes for Russia, that all we can do is give aid to Ukraine. Really kind of stand behind them and be their cheerleaders while they keep fighting. And as that reminder, Putin has sent a nuclear-powered submarine and a fleet of ships to a port that's 90 miles away from Florida. I think that, and it's for routine military exercises. I understand that. I understand how those work. As stupid as it fucking is, it's routine. But right now, I think it speaks volumes and it's a statement. It's very purposeful and it's very loud. And it's letting us know this is how close we are. This wouldn't be hard. And this is what we have. This is what you can see of what we have. And all across these conflicts, I think children are the most vulnerable. Millions of kids are living in dire conditions, facing starvation, violence, and exploitation. We need to do more to protect them. Protect their lives and ensure they have a future free from fear and suffering. It's inconceivable, really. And that is before we've even gotten to the crisis in our own backyard, which is America. We're heading into the 2024 election. This year is an election year. It seems no one is talking about it. It seems there aren't campaigns. There aren't debates. There aren't fucking Trump parades coming from Hawaii in the back of trucks. And I don't know. Is it just because there isn't a good choice? Is that what's happening? Like, we've all just fucking thrown our hands up? Like, good lord. But what I do know is that the state of LGBTQIA+ rights in the U.S. hangs in the balance. The previous administration rolled back many protections for LGBTQ+ individuals, impacting everything from healthcare and employment to military service and education. If you're confused, the previous administration was Trump. The current administration has taken steps to restore some of these rights, but the upcoming election could dramatically alter that landscape. Here's how. Healthcare remains a critical issue. The previous administration attempted to eliminate the protections under the Affordable Care Act for transgender individuals, impacting their ability to receive necessary medical care without discrimination. This election will determine whether these protections are solidified or again stripped away. Employment and education. They're also at risk. Previous policies allowed for discrimination against LGBTQIA+ individuals in the workplace and schools. And it's a joke if you don't think it's not still happening. The Equality Act, which seeks to provide comprehensive protections and is failing, is still pending in Congress. The outcome of the election will influence its fate and consequently the daily lives of LGBTQIA+ people across the U.S. Military service for trans individuals was banned under the previous administration, Again, that's Trump. Although this ban has been lifted, this election could bring back these discriminatory policies, affecting the careers and livelihoods of many. I'm going to preach to you on the importance of voting. You can skip ahead a couple minutes. I don't care. But voting in this election is crucial for the LGBTQ plus IAG, the whole all of that community. Our rights, our protections, and our identities are at stake. Although it's vital to support candidates who advocate for equality and justice, we don't have any. But we might be able to ensure that the progress we've made so far isn't undone. This election isn't just about politics, it's about the future for our community. Again, I'm having trouble celebrating pride. So how do we celebrate pride during all this? We remember that pride isn't just about parades and parties. It's about resistance, resilience, and solidarity. We remember that our community has always fought for justice and equality, and not all of it. And I'm well aware maybe some of the weaker ones could step up this time. Probably not, but we'll see. This Pride Month, I think we can channel our energy, just like a Care Bear stare, into advocating for global human rights and supporting those who need it most. Holding fundraisers and participating in global solidarity events and using our platforms to highlight these critical issues are all ways to celebrate pride. And I encourage everyone to get involved. Support organizations working on the ground. If you can, donate to humanitarian efforts and use your voice to advocate for change. Our collective actions make a difference. Let's turn our celebration into a powerful statement of solidarity and resistance. I'd like to hear from you. How are you balancing the celebration of pride with the awareness of global conflicts? What actions are you taking to support those in need? If you'd like to share your stories with me on social media or through my email, I would love to hear them and share them on air. Let's perhaps create a community of support and action as we navigate these beyond challenging times. Let's remember that pride is more than a celebration. Again, it's a powerful statement of resistance and solidarity. Together, we can make a difference, even in the face of overwhelming odds. Thank you for tuning in to Troubles and Transitions and the Healthcare Hustle. Stay informed, stay active, and stay fabulous. I love the way my body's. I love the way it's flowing.